Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films, Men, Hatching, Deception. There you go.
That sounded like one title, but it was actually three titles.
It's actually a story. I'm going to be writing a short story while you are doing your reviews.
A very short story. Yeah, this seems to be in a little period here of one-word titles coming along. Maybe it's just the movies I decide to talk about, but there have been a lot of them lately, it seems. We recently had a show with one-word title films. And
now we have this is part two.
Yeah. Anyway, these films, aside from having one-word titles, are, very different from each other in most ways. I want to say, first of all, greetings from Lebanon, not Lebanon the country, but Lebanon, New Hampshire, where my partner and I are ensconced to do some stuff. I'm going to be doing some stuff at the White River Indie Films Festival in White River Junction, Vermont, where one of my sons lives and works, and he's also a big honcho on this film festival. So later this week, I will be, and I guess, yeah, later this week, early next week, I will be doing some events at the White River Indie Films Festival. So I'm doubt if we have any listeners at the moment who happen to be in the immediate neighborhood of White River Junction, Vermont. But if you are, drop on by the festival. It's a wonderful occasion, and I'm already really looking forward to the things I'm going to do in the festival. That said, I, yes, have been finding time somehow in my busy life to keep up with the new movies that we need to talk about this week. And so we do have three of them. And, Jill, they are a fairly different package. Although the first two have a sort of a horror movie orientation. I've said this before, but there do seem to be so many horror movies out nowadays. But it's just, I guess, maybe it has something to do with the pandemic atmosphere that we've all been in. But anyway, a lot of horror movies. Then again, it's a genre that goes way, way back to the very beginning of movies, and even farther back than that in other media. So horror has always been popular. And these are actually kind of interesting horror movies, different though they are from one another. Men, very, very simple title, and that is very much the theme of the movie, because it's sort of a thoughtful horror movie, is written and directed by Alex Garland. And he is an interesting figure. His big specialty is basically science fiction most of the time. Men is much more a horror movie than a science fiction movie, but of course they're neighboring genres and they overlap with each other. And he's been involved with, he's written some real horror movies in the past. Well, particularly 28 Days Later, the Danny Boyle movie, sort of a vampire movie from 2002. He also wrote the screenplay for a very good movie, Never Let Me Go, which again is more science fiction than horror and more very thoughtful and you know, with a real sort of serious messages to convey about the contemporary world. And Men, in very different ways, does the same thing, which he has both written and directed. When I say he does mostly science fiction, if one looks back at his previous films, one finds Ex Machina, which was about 8 years ago, a very, very interesting movie about artificial intelligence and sort of a female robotics. And again, I keep saying this word today, thoughtful. I really, you know, has things to say, things to get you pondering when it comes to gender and artificial intelligence, things like that. Ex Machina, I think in some ways remains his best movie. Then he made the movie Annihilation. He directed that, and that's based on quite a respected, I think overrated, but interesting science fiction novel. And he did the TV miniseries Devs, D-E-V-S, which is really good. I'm sort of fed up these days with a lot of the science fiction I see on the TV streaming outlets. But Devs is really good. It had a surprise ending, or has a surprise ending, which I should have seen coming way before I did, but I found it pretty effective. And I think that anybody interested in science fiction would do well to catch up, especially with the movie Ex Machina and Ex Machina, and the TV miniseries Devs, which I thought was very good. And now he has made Men. So here is what Men is about. We have a young woman who is getting over her. She had a horrible fight this is all the beginning of the movie. This is not a spoiler. She had a horrible fight, a horrible row with her her husband, and he then died. And she's not really sure whether he committed suicide or whether he accidentally fell to his death. But she is very torn up by this. And so in order to, as they put it in the movie, in order to heal, she rents a big old house out in the middle of nowhere in the countryside. This is in England. And one of the first things that happens when she gets there is that the owner of the place gives her a tour of the great big old house. And he seems to be a very nice man. And I should mention right now that the woman is played by Jessie Buckley, who is a wonderful, wonderful actor, and she is excellent in this film. And the man is played by Rory Kinnear. So he gives her this tour, and there seems to be something just a tiny little bit creepy about him. Maybe he's just a little bit too friendly, or a little too this, or a little too that, and you wonder if maybe this is what the movie's going to be about. Maybe she's going to be fending off this horrible character for a long time. He turns out to be only one of several characters in the movie. There are various other characters. There's a young man who lives in the area who seems to be sort of mentally unbalanced. There is a clergyman, or a member, a person of the cloth, as we might say nowadays, who also lives in the area and who she has a certain interaction with. And there's a bartender, and there's a guy, a local, who hangs out in the local pub. And here's what I'm getting toward. Most of these characters, most of these men I've just mentioned, are played by the same Rory Kinnear. We first meet him as the landlord, Jeffrey, and then we meet him as this, as that, as something else. So that's an interesting little twist in this movie. We have this guy who is playing all these different roles. Now, Rory Kinnear happens to be a really good actor, and he does a marvelous job with these. In some cases, I wasn't even sure whether it was him or not. Although, if you're in doubt, generally it turns out to be. And there's other actors in the movie, too, and all of that. But as the film goes along, and as our main character, her name is Harper, by the way, as she has interactions with these various men, interactions of different kinds, often a little bit scary or at least a little bit unsettling, we begin to realize that relations between the genders and the behavior of different kinds of men is definitely a theme of this movie. Then, as we start to get near the end of the movie, it turns into a real supernatural horror story. It's possible that this is a lot of sort of hallucinatory stuff erupting out of Harper's unconscious or something like that, but it certainly looks real enough on the screen, and we have real monster movie stuff. And I think the movie becomes impressive visually, but less impressive, shall we say, philosophically, as we get into the last part. So here we have a movie which is a very interesting film about gender interactions, and particularly about one woman interacting with various different men who have enough similarities to all be played by the same actor. But then after a while, it sort of, I would say, devolves into a flat-out horror movie. And even though I like horror movies, it becomes less interesting at that point. The movie has gotten kind of mixed reviews. I think most people seem to like it very much. But, you know, some people are not so enthusiastic about it. I would say, for myself, it's a good, not great, modern horror movie. Don't go to see it if you don't want to see some real horrific monster movie type stuff. Do go to see it if you want to see a bunch of horrific monster movie type stuff. Certainly, it's worth seeing by anybody who could handle it for the wonderful performances of Jessie Buckley as Harper and Rory Kinnear as all kinds of people. An interesting movie, an offbeat movie. And again, I certainly am going to keep watching Alex Garland's career quite closely, because I think he's a really interesting filmmaker, specialist in science fiction and to some extent in horror. But he has a lot of versatility, and I think he's a really gifted and important filmmaker with us today. Now, our second film, again, we're going to stick with horror for just a little bit while more. Our second movie is a Scandinavian movie. It hails from Finland. Also, there's some Swedish involvement in the production. And here we have a movie which is not only a horror movie, which it very much is, but maybe I should say more of a fantasy, because it's not so outright horrific. The Last Part of Men tries to be outright horrific. Hatching is a tiny bit more delicate than that. So let's call it a fantasy film. And it's also very, very much about gymnastics, because our main character, whose name is Tinja, takes place in Finland. She is 12 years old, and she is a gymnast, and she is involved in a very major, gearing up for a very major competition. And, you know, you see her doing some gymnastics in the movie, and it's amazing, you know, really gifted. I think a lot of it is done by a stunt double who's really a professional gymnast, although the lead actress is also very good. But anyway, she's gearing up for this big, big competition, and she also has tensions at home, particularly from her mother, who is a pusher and who is always on her, and everything, nothing Tina does ever quite meets the mother's expectations. And the mother herself was a gymnast in her day and really wants Tina to take over and become the great gymnast of the family and the great gymnast of the country. And then there's tension between the mother and Tina's father. He's rather a milquetoast, kind of a shy, retiring guy, not very assertive. So anyway, poor Tina, she's only 12, and she's a really gifted person. She is a phenomenal gymnast, but she's got too much pressure on her from her ex-gymnast mother, and there's tension in her family home and all of this. And so that's what the movie is about. But here's what the movie's really about. Because somewhere very early in the film, Tina discovers a very mysterious looking egg. Remember, this movie is called Hatching. And this peculiar egg, she takes it home, she puts it in her bedroom, and it starts to grow. And we start to wonder what might be in that egg. And given that the name of this movie is Hatching, is this egg going to hatch? And what's going to happen when it hatches? Well, again, this movie is something of a horror movie. It is certainly a fantasy movie. And yes, eventually the egg does hatch. And the next thing you know, we have all kinds of crazy, again, monster movie stuff. It's not the really kind of over-the-top, in-your-face, violent horror kind of monster movie, but it is a monster movie. And again, I think the movie is more interesting when it deals with Tina and her psychological troubles and the difficulties in her home and so forth, than when it gets into the monster movie stuff, when it certainly becomes less believable and less, let's say, immediate on a psychological level. That said, Hatching, another movie that's been getting very good reviews, is a very, very well-made movie, very, very well done. It is directed by Hannah Bergholm, who also co-wrote the screenplay and obviously has real talent. So a rare chance to see a Finnish movie. It's in distribution in the United States right now, and we don't get that many Finnish movies. There are a couple of really important modern Finnish filmmakers, especially the great Aki Kaurismäki. But again, we just don't get that many Finnish horror movies, or I should say Finnish movies. So this is a good chance to see a Finnish movie with some real Finnish atmosphere in it. And also, it's a pretty good fantasy film. I rather enjoyed it. And our final film today, Jill, is called Deception. And it is written and directed by the very major French filmmaker, I should say he co-wrote it and he directed it, very major French filmmaker Arnaud Desplechin. I have very fond memories of Arnaud because I moderated a press conference with him many years ago back at the New York Film Festival when we showed one of his early films there. And since then, he's made a whole lot of movies and he remains a pretty important French filmmaker. Interestingly, however, Deception is based on a novel of that title by a non-French writer. In fact, it is by a very American writer, Philip Roth. And Deception is one of the many novels that Roth had written. I rather like Roth's work. I've been into it for a very long time. It's one of the many novels that Roth has written, which turn out to be about Roth in disguised form. I mean, one of the characters in Deception is a writer, a novelist named Philip. And it doesn't take you too long to guess that that's probably Philip Roth. And yes, he's involved. He writes a lot about Jewish themes, and he gets in trouble with various people that way and so forth. Now, what is unusual about the novel Deception, and I believe this is unique in Philip Roth's very, very large bibliography, it is a novel written entirely in dialogue. I've actually read it more than once over the years, and it's all dialogue, just people talking from the first page to the last page. So in a way, that makes it seem very like an obvious thing maybe for adaptation into a play or a movie. And yes, Arnaud Desplechin has adapted it into a movie, which is full of people talking with each other. And there is the main character, played by Denis Podalides, who is a writer. And there is a woman played by the wonderful actress Léa Seydoux, and another woman played by the wonderful Emmanuel Davos. And we just have a whole lot of people talking in different locations about different things. But yes, there is a very powerful Jewish theme in this movie, as there always is, pretty much always, in the work of Philip Roth, who is always writing about what he regarded as his people, the Jewish people, their trials, their travails, their flaws. laws. So, interestingly, Arnaud Desplechin is not a Jewish filmmaker, but he has very often put Jewish characters into his movies, and here he gets to go all the way. This is a movie which is very much with Jewish culture, French version, and it's a very, very nicely acted, a very nicely directed movie, a very nicely written movie. I found it all rather elegant. Not everybody likes this film. It's gotten some negative reviews. People find it, surprise, surprise, too talky. But I actually found it very enjoyable to watch. It's not an exciting movie, but it's a very literate movie. It's full of words. It's full of ideas. It's full of emotions as people talk with each other and sometimes get very heated about one thing or another. So it's not a movie to look at if you want to see a great classic French film or if you want to see an exciting film nowadays. It's not exciting, but again, it's elegant, it's literate, and I rather liked it, and I rather recommend Deception. And so that is my somewhat jumping all over the place story this week, Jill.
For which, I love saying this, we thank you as always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films, Men, Hatching, Deception.